Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome back to Page 94. This is the Paul Foot Award shortlist miniseries. Let's find out who is the third of the journalists shortlisted for an award this year.
Page 94, the Private Eye podcast.
My name is Lindsay Bruce and I'm part of the features team at the Aberdeen Press and Journal.
Fantastic. And what's the story that's brought you to the Paul Foot Award this year?
The story that's brought me to the Paul Foot Awards is our coverage of the RAC concrete crisis in Aberdeen and our campaign called Trapped by RAC.
So can you remind anyone who may have taken their eye off the story or not heard about RAC in the first place, what is RAC?
RAC is, it basically means reinforced autoclaved aerated concrete. The irony is it's not really concrete at all because of all these things, but it means it's like a bubbly, porous form of concrete. It looks like the inside of an aero bar if you were to break it in half. And in a lot of buildings that were made post-war, new towns, for example, huge council house and estates, RAC was used in the roof panels, and it was also used in some walls. But in Aberdeen, certainly, we discovered that there were 500 homes that were made with RAC. The RAC was in the roof panels as well as some public buildings as well.
And there are problems with RAC, I believe, to put it mildly. Can you tell us about those?
We refer to it as risky RAC, crumbling concrete. In a nutshell, in about October 2023, it was revealed that, you know, RAC was in a lot of public buildings. This is years after they had alerts and warnings about school roofs coming down because they were made with RAC. The problem with RAC is it is porous, and so it can absorb a lot of water over the years. So any building in the United Kingdom, but particularly places like Wales, the Central Belt and the north of Scotland, there's going to be a lot of water in the buildings. And so when it was discovered that there was 500 homes in Aberdeen with RAC in the roofs, the immediate issue was, are these roofs about to collapse on the people that are living in them, as they had done in some schools previously? So that was the situation we had. It was November 2023 when the homeowners and council tenants were told there may be RAC in your homes. And it wasn't until the following February 2024, that they actually found out, yes, you have got RAC in your homes. And then from there on in, calamity, catastrophe and drama for all these people that were living in homes with roofs that could collapse at any moment.
I presume it's extremely nerve-wracking to be told that, to say the least. How did you start reporting the story?
So the newspaper started reporting it back then, October 2023. My involvement came, I'm part of the features team, and so my involvement came in about August 2024. And what happened there was I attended a church service in Torrey, the area that is most affected by RAC in our patch. And in a room of about 50 people, there were three women who were all about to be displaced to elsewhere in the city because their council house had RAC in it. And there were two families who were facing bankruptcy because their house had RAC in it. Now, this is when my part of the journey started. I pitched the idea that perhaps I could go and set up camp in Balnagask, and maybe over 2 days, work from a community centre, let people know I was going to be there and see if we could tell one or two stories. Well, the reality is that from the second I set my computer up, I had a queue of people next to my desk. And so it ended up being like a clinic, if you like, the way a politician would come and sit down and wait for people to come and talk. So for 2 days, I had people, person after person, coming in, telling me what was going on and saying, you should go and see Diane and Sandy down there. They're going to lose their house. And so I just had all these stories. And overnight, while I was there, the news went from there's RAC in your home to we've voted to demolish your homes.
Who's saying that? I'm sorry.
the council. So in between times, the council met and they voted that the best option to deal with RAG was not to fix it, was not to remediate it, was to demolish these houses. When the council decided that the best way to deal with the RAG was to demolish, in essence, the whole of Balnagask, which is one housing estate, the council tenants were just moved. The huge trauma of being moved. The homeowners then were left with two options. You can fix the RAG in your house, and that's between 20 and roughly £45,000 per home to fix the RAG, because it means replacing the whole roof, not just the tiles, not just the structure, the whole thing. And so in a flat, that would be about £20,000. In a four-bed or a three-bedroom house, it would be like £40,000. And this is a house in a state that's probably one of the least expensive places to live in the whole city. So if on average, a house maybe is like £120,000 for one of the larger ones. So then the council was saying, we're going to buy back your house at market value, but market value taken into consideration, you've got RAG in your house that they didn't know about when they bought their houses. And so that would mean if you paid £120,000 for your house, you were going to lose at least the cost of RAG. I can think of a family, they spent £123,000 on their house. They were given a value of £68,000 for their house. Right. They still owed £100,000 on their mortgage. And so if they agreed to sell, they would have been in negative equity. So they would have had to pay back a mortgage on a house they're no longer living in that's been demolished, and then find somewhere else to rent for them and their two kids. And that was the reality. And that reality was causing stress to the point of suicidal ideation for people. It was causing numerous health issues. And so these people were faced with the thought of, actually, are we going to be homeless? Are we going to lose everything we've ever worked for? And this was overnight. And so I caught that reaction in the community centre that day. And then from then, we just kept covering the crisis. We just kept reporting every new council meeting, every update. I would find these stories to tell. And there was just a point in early April last year, 2025, where I went to my editor and said, look, it's not enough. We're going to need to tip this into a campaign if possible. And, you know, there's usually that thing in newspapers, well, is it winnable? We didn't know if it was winnable.
What would winning have looked like?
So winning would have been some kind of resolution for some of the people in this. It's hard to describe to you. There's so many layers of nuance in this, but all the way along, every meeting I had, every interview I conducted, there was no sense to me that the homeowners in particular were being treated with compassion or were being treated fairly. And even when I would speak to council officials, I would see that they had a huge task on their hands. There was no denying that. I think the council leader described it as the biggest movement of people in peacetime Aberdeen had seen. Right. And I would agree with that. It was enormous to try and rehome 500 families. But for me, nobody would answer my question, but what is going to happen to these people? The ones that are going to lose their home, lose half the value of their home and still have to pay their mortgage. How are they going to pay rent if they're still paying their mortgage on a property that's going to be demolished? What are these people going to do that are in mental health crisis because of the stress of living in a home where your roof could come down on you, but you can't sell because if you sell to the council, you're going to lose half the value of your home? So what we asked for was that this conversation would be raised at government at all levels. Being in Scotland, housing is devolved, but a lot of these people bought their homes under right to buy, so they bought from the council. So we wanted this to be a conversation at all levels because RAC is affecting disproportionately people in Scotland more than any other part of the United Kingdom. But there are other pockets in the United Kingdom. So we wanted it raised at Westminster as well as Holyrood. We wanted a fair resolution for homeowners. We did not want a single person in Aberdeen to be homeless through no fault of their own. And we wanted the conversation to keep going, which is what we're trying to keep doing now, so that there will be a public inquiry and a decision made on whether RAC needs to be listed as a dangerous material or something moving forward, so that we don't see swathes of people. Like, there's 900 households in Dundee just now also with RAC. What is going to happen to them? And so that a win for us was something around all of them. I don't think that we ever thought we were going to get fair house prices, but I was determined that if there was something I could do, I was going to do it. And that's what we did.
You said you went into campaigning mode. Can you describe a couple of the campaigning tactics you used to get the message across of this story?
I think we used all the tactics. so we we had downloadable or pull-out posters in our print publications, Trapped by Rack, that went up all over the city. So hundreds of homes and businesses had these up in their windows. They had a QR code on them that you could sign a petition, you could read more about the articles, you could get behind the campaign. With a couple of hours' notice, we discovered that one of our Rack families was going to the Scottish Cup final. And so we had a banner printed and they held it pitch side right behind where all the players were doing their announcements. And so they said, you know, help the Aberdeen family was trapped by Rack. That was particularly humorous to me because I knew the council leader supported Aberdeen, so he'd be watching it. We did street protests. I went along to start with, there was closed meetings in a local pub just for the homeowners that they'd formed a committee to decide what they were going to do. But as I gained trust over the months, they invited me to come along to these as well. And so a lot of Sunday nights were spent in the White Cockade pub in Torrey, discussing what we were going to do, how we could elevate voices. For me, it meant door knocking, walking around hundreds of doors. I think at the last count, I think I've interviewed about 90 people or 90 representatives from these households that were involved with Rack in some shape or form.
I believe you hosted your own Question Time event, is that right?
We did, yeah. So we used our press room here. We set up a Question Time event. We had our editor chair that. Some MSPs were there. The council leader was there. We also had a doctor from Torrey who came along. And he was fantastic. He gave us an exclusive where he talked to us about the health ramifications of this crisis. And so we had all these people in the room. It was explosive. You know, the homeowners were toe-to-toe with their elected officials and were able to speak to them, call them to account.
It all sounds, and I'm saying this word in the absolute most positive sense, very tabloid, where you are drawing attention to a huge problem, a crisis, something that's really affected people's lives, but you are doing so in a way that is vibrant and engaging and gets people on board.
Concrete is not a sexy subject to talk about, and the people in Torrey will know if they hear this what I mean by this. People in an area that is often, mischaracterized, looked down upon. There's a lot of snobbery in this, comments like, why would they even want to live there anyway? There was no sense of the injustice and the trauma that these people were going through. And so for me, it was, how can I tell story after story after story in a way that people will see themselves in it? And so it was, and honestly, that was easy when I spoke to these people. There was 80-odd-year-old Charlie Walker, an army veteran, who was crying in his chair next to the empty chair because his wife had just died, wondering if he's going to be homeless. You know, that I don't need to write that in any dramatic way for that to be absolutely harrowing. And it was story after story. The very first couple that I interviewed were George and Sheila McDonald. And George and Sheila told the story of when they went to the council meeting and they were talking about whether they would demolish their houses. Politicians were scrolling on their phones. And I saw this, I was in the press gallery, scrolling on their phones and, you know, doing online shopping. As they were making the decision whether 138 homeowners were going to lose everything. And they were so traumatised by this. Sheila told me that, you know, the stress of this situation, she just wishes she hadn't retired. 2 weeks after this, I was walking my dog in Torrey. I made a point of going through Torrey at least once a week so that I could watch the decline and, you know, what was happening and then go back to the council and hold them to account again. And I was walking my dog through Torrey when my phone rang and it was George to tell me Sheila had died. 2 weeks after we put her on a poster, 2 weeks after that very first interview. And he was much more gracious than I was. But for me, I worried that was going to be the first of many people who were just under such protracted, never-ending stress that this crisis was going to be the end of them, really. I just kept telling the stories. The stories were there. I just kept finding them, kept telling them, kept calling politicians to account, asking the difficult questions and using FOIs to find information and just keep going so that we could try and come at this from every single angle until we got a win.
And drum roll, I believe you did get a win. Can you tell us what results transpired from the campaign?
Yeah, so I was at home one afternoon. We sometimes work from home and my phone was going off the hook and I thought, oh, it's just somebody from work. I've got a call to make. And it kept ringing. And when I picked up the phone, they said, you need to phone the housing convener. She's been trying to get a hold of you. There's some exclusive they want to give you. And when I phoned up and spoke to her, she said, Lindsay, I just need to tell you that This is 2 days after, by the way, the council leader said publicly on a video, I will not rob Peter to pay Paul, meaning I'm not going to use public money to help homeowners. And 2 days after, it was confirmed that £10 million would be coming from the Scottish Government through pressure to give them offer fiscal flexibility so we could use that money for RAC. I got this phone call and said, we're going to offer homeowners the entire value of their home, i.e. that roof payment I was telling you about would be added back in. So the full value of their home would now be offered to them so that they would be able to sell it back, move out and still have options. And it was just one of those moments where I kind of went, sorry, you're going to give them what we've been asking for.
Right.
And she sort of laughed and she said, yeah, I promised we would, you know, we would turn over every stone. And so there we had it. And then that night I was able to go to the pub with the same pub that we had been campaigning in. I was able to go to the pub with all my families, as I call them. And we would go to the pub. And honestly, Andy, I promise you, for the first time in the whole time that I've known some of these people, I saw them smiling. Just a glimmer of hope. Like, they still had monumental losses, breakdown of community, health issues, loss of their spouse, you know, so much loss, so much trauma. But one thing they wouldn't be losing now was that, you know, was this, the full value of their home, although they still had to pay moving costs and a few other things. But that was more than we at sometimes had ever thought we were going to do. And I'm fully confident we wouldn't have got there had we not rallied as a news brand behind these people. It's their campaign. I just had the privilege of standing with them and elevating their voices. But I don't think we would have got that result had we not come on board.
Thank you so much for your time. That's terrific.
Thank you so much for having me.
So that's it for today's Shortlist Eat. We'll be back with another one tomorrow. We'll see you then.